Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it is now or never, and I cannot impress upon you enough that it's time to get engaged. Now, I state this every once in a while, how humbling it is to be your humble servant. And I truly mean a humble servant because I'm not here trying to make any money off of you. I'm not trying to entertain you. I'm trying to help you. And I'm trying to, as I like to tell people all the time, I'm here to help and I'm not from the government. And so the things that we go through, we're going to get into in today's show. This is Feedback Friday, and based on a lot of the new contacts that we've made, and actually we've finally gotten some established connections in some new dark red states, this is good news. This is really good news. We expect this show to be growing, and we know that people are going to be coming on board so that, you know, they can actually hear this particular show. So write down today's date, Friday the 13th. Doesn't happen very often. So we wanted to make Friday the 13th truly a horror for progressives, because what we want to do is we want to help you get it. We want to go around this perspective in different angles so that you finally, hopefully, many of you can understand what we're doing and why we're doing this, because it's not about us. It's about all of us. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about all of us, the United States, and saving our Constitution. So it's with a prayer in my heart that I be touched with the Spirit, that I might be able to articulate the words that will actually permeate in your heart and in your mind as you ponder these things that we cover today, that you might be able to have a conviction. Prove me wrong. That's the best way to obtain a conviction. When you play things out and when you lay it out for people, prove me wrong. Prove me that the framers didn't say what I am telling you, because that's why we read their words. We don't want you to take our word for it. We actually read to you. So we're going to cover all that type of stuff of what this show entails. Why? Because we want you to understand how we are seeking to fund you and your efforts in creating constitutional counties. You heard that right. We want to fund you. We're not asking you to join and pay us $5 a month, or $20 a year, $50 a year, and we'll send you a magazine. What we want to send you is the money you need to have the events, to have the organization, to have the things necessary. Because we understand that it's hard. It's hard to actually do things. It costs money, right? Government costs money. I tell this to the anarchists all the time that keep on putting up these little posts that say, taxation is theft. Absolutely not. Taxation is absolutely necessary. It's what they're spending the taxation on is a real problem. And we cover all of that stuff here. So this must be repeated over and over again, that we want to fund you. But the foundation of what and why we do what we do here is because if you really take this to the Lord, you'll get the answer. Because we say this all the time. And when people think about this, they go, oh my gosh, he's right. And it's not me being right. It's about the scriptures. It's about the Lord being right. It's about our Creator and what he knew and what he did. Only our Creator knew what we would be dealing with in these days. Only he knew the level and magnitude of evil that would have a grasp on the people of today. Fortunately, we don't live in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have a big contrast between good and evil. And most of the good people have been basically waylaid or have been thrown into a level of, I'll just say, misguided confusion, whatever's the best word to say it, because we're not united. More importantly, he gave us everything we need to take back our liberty in this Constitution. And I say that because Anybody that's listened to this show, when that Constitution was finished, it wasn't perfect. The framers knew it wasn't perfect, and they needed to do some things that were necessary, but they weren't there yet. And the 14th Amendment was, to me, one of the biggest final pieces to the Constitution that was necessary so that we today could actually force the change that we need to have. Now, this is one of the big reasons why, my friends, we go through these issues that I like to call the comprehensive constitutional positions for you to campaign on as for your grassroots organization, as a leader for your county or your state, and or for federal elections. It doesn't matter what, why, how, and where you're going with this. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you go through all of these details. So we've been going through all of these issues, and as we do this, we're providing you the insights necessary that you can actually start holding government accountable, because that's what a civil society does. Another thing we're going to be covering. So let's just kind of move forward with what we need to do. And we're going to do this without any breaks. We're just going to keep going forward. And if we have a break, it's either because GR here has gotten a little tired and needs to take a drink, or, you know, we've kind of wrapped up and we're ready to start moving forward into some other Feedback Friday. But to be clear, this is Feedback Friday. We're trying to give you the details that we've been asked to provide you. One of the key things that we must first get you to understand, because we want you to lead. We want everybody that listens to this show, everybody can lead. As a matter of fact, if you understand leadership, leaders create teams which have leaders in charge of those teams. In other words, leaders develop leaders so that we can all start sharing and start going from one position to the next. It doesn't matter who's involved. It matters that we're leading and using leadership principles. So one of the key things in leadership principles is being able to view things from an upstream view, looking upstream to the source of the problems we're dealing with in the political waters that are floating by us on a daily basis. When we look at things floating by us in the water on a daily basis, that is the downstream view. This is the effect of what's happening upstream. The things happening upstream are the sources of causing all of this. So let's talk about what's downstream, because this is where everybody gets captivated. This is where everybody gets caught up. Abortion is downstream. Education and the problems from education, from Common Core, CRT, sexualizing children, or even the stealing of parental rights from the education system and from the state governments and from the federal government. The election and voter fraud is downstream. Welfare in the form of corporate subsidies for banks, insurance, or even agricultural corporations, or even family farms. If the government is paying welfare for you to not be productive, then what they're doing is they're creating a dependency, like food. They're creating a dependency for food on foreign sources. Same thing with energy. This is why the Bolshevik Revolution is in full gear under the Biden administration. What we're saving for last in this show is to help you understand through the Constitution, there are two ways we can remove the Biden administration. So just like when you're watching the news at 11, you want to tune in then, you need to listen to this whole program to understand what is on the line and how we can get rid of the Biden administration at the beginning of January 2023 without having to impeach him. So when we look at welfare, getting back into welfare, there's housing welfare, there's healthcare welfare. I mean, all of these different handouts, it is to get us dependent. It is tantamount to the capturing of a pig in the wild by just feeding the pig a little bit each day and then building a box around that pig over time, to where by the time the pig is, you know, comfortable eating within the three walls, you put up the fourth wall, and now you've got the pig on its way to becoming domesticated. The other things downstream we see is the selling of America from both our politics to the land itself. People are complaining that foreign entities like China is owning our food and our resources. They're literally buying us out. None of these things they can do. all of these things we talk about and how we have to address these. Domestic issues ranging from homelessness, drug usage, overdosing, you know, shutting down of businesses, vaccines, addictive behavior, on and on and on. How to deal with these things and what to do. You have the right and the privileges in this Constitution to actually take these things head on. The loss of your property rights, your right of conscience, as we've covered recently. The loss of the rule of law and justice, and on and on and on. We cover a wide range of very important information that we believe you need to help you succeed in whatever leadership you want to take, whatever role in leadership you want to take, from being in office as a public servant or being a grassroots activist or just holding your public servants accountable. There is room for everybody in a civil organization. And when I say a civil organization, our society is a civil organization. It was created by the framers, by the inspiration of the divine hand of providence. So from the information and insights that we provide you on the history, we actually go through the founding documents, the ratification debates, because we don't want you to take our word for it. We don't believe you should take any man's word for it. Read what the framers said. Let their words speak from the dust, in tantamount or basically in parallel to what Isaiah talked about. Let the words speak from the dust so that you can hear for yourself exactly how they defined this Constitution. We even cover obscure things like how to cover or how to create effective goals, or how the differences of Thanksgiving and what we should be doing for Thanksgiving. We even cover how we've been manipulated into Christmas. More importantly, we cover details of what it will take to get all government into compliance. We spend a preponderance of time on these things. We go through the Constitution in detail starting on September 17th. And last time we went through it, it took 3 weeks to go through the entire Constitution. But we go through every line and we help you understand what each of these lines mean. We'd love to give you even more detailed instruction and more detailed information, but that would take a long, long time. And there's other things that we have to cover. But we want you to understand that all of this is all about government and getting government in compliance to the Constitution, from holding your county public servants accountable to ultimately what it will take to force, all capital letters, force the general government into compliance to the Constitution. We cover the incompatibility of those of us who are classic liberals to the progressives. We actually go through the wiring and why they think completely different. Do not think that they think the way you do. They believe anything necessary. They believe in committing crimes, killing. This is why every time Bolshevik revolutions and subjugists, because the difference here, folks, is we have classic liberals who believe everybody has a right to choose and must choose for themselves what to do, in contrast to the progressives who demand full enslavement to the state. And once they get there, they do whatever is necessary. If they think you're a threat, they'll kill you, because what the ends justify the means, whatever it takes to obtain their ultimate goal. That's how far off in wiring we are between these two different paradigms, from classic liberals to the hardcore progressive communists. So let me give you context as how you should be seeing some of these things that are happening today. Satan uses fear to get people, to get us, or enough of us, to surrender. In other words, the pandemic got a lot of people to surrender. When we start looking at, you know, this, the thing, let's even look at sex education in the 50s. There was too many unwanted pregnancies. So they said, well, we need to start teaching sex education, because they were trying to create this fear. Well, you have to understand that they had been migrating and teaching secular godlessness and so forth. I mean, this was all a part of the plan. They had already started this long before they even brought in this health or sex education into the school. This has all been a part of their strategy. So he's been using fear as we see things so that we would react. And each time we've surrendered a little bit of ground. Let me ask you how many times you have seen ground gained. They took prayer out of the school a long, long time ago. It's been proven that that has been instrumental in debasing our society. How close are we to getting prayer back in school, folks? Well, we're talking about abortion. We're talking now about abortion being undone and undoing the Roe v. Wade. We'll get into that in just a second. But what we want you to understand is this nation was based on civility, not fear and fear-mongering and demagoguery. In contrast to civility, uncivilized behavior was not tolerated. I can tell you that if you look at the Whiskey Rebellion in 1792 to 1794, it was not tolerated. They tried and tried and tried, and then they ended up arresting 24 people on treason because they were protesting the federal taxes. Today, folks, we see protests on all sorts of things, and it should not be tolerated. Remember, 24 people were charged with treason and two were convicted in 1794. Why aren't we charging people with treason? Nobody has the right to take away your right to commerce. Nobody has the right to take away your access into a building, a public building or not. If you understand the contrast between protests and petitions, First Amendment petitions are holding government accountable to what they're supposed to be doing. The only reason we're having these problems is we're not holding government accountable to enforcing the law, which is why the law itself is being violated. First Amendment petitions is civil discourse with legal consequences. In contrast to that, protests are basically the same thing as assault and battery. What happens is people get in your face, and then over time, even the framers understood this, that it would lead to actual harm. It would either lead to physical harm or, you know, property damage, what have you. That type of discourse or that type of action in a civil society cannot be tolerated, and we need to start shutting this stuff down, folks. And today we see doxing or outing conservatives, those who do not subscribe to the communist ideologies. They will come after you, and they will actually out you, and they will do everything they can to hurt you and put fear upon you. And when they do, and when they shut you down, or you go away, or you get hurt, oh, they love it, because it sends a message to everybody else that this could happen to you. In other words, they're using fear. And why is it that we're tolerating this kind of crap? I mean, look at what they're doing to the Supreme Court. By doxing these three supposed conservatives, you know, over the Roe v. Wade and actually protesting, they don't have a right to protest outside their house. They don't have a right to do this. And these people need to be arrested, just like the people coming across our border. They're invading our country. They need to be arrested and sent back. I'm sorry. Did you abide by the laws? Then you have no right to be here. We got to stop tolerating the violations of the law. Satan uses division by appealing to our passions and getting us to focus on one minute thing myopically, instead of looking at the macro view or the bigger picture, which keeps us from uniting. Remember, united we stand, divided we fall. An enlightened society is disciplined. We don't go chasing the shiny objects. We focus on the big picture, and we make sure that we stay in line with all of the law. We don't cherry pick what we want to actually support and what we don't want to support, and we don't get swayed off course. Emphasis is always for those who are enlightened. Emphasis is always for the greater good in the public forum. I mean, things that you do at home, that's a little bit different, but everything that we do in the public forum is for the greater good. So that we're thinking about the children at all times. We're thinking about the parents. We're trying to elevate everybody. It's not leaving people behind. every man out for themselves and trying to get rich quick schemes? That's not how it was with the framers. This is why the conservatives are not constitutionalists, because they cherry pick. When you point to a conservative and they're not standing on the whole Constitution, that's all they are, is a conservative. Anybody that cherry picks ideas or ideals or something out of the Constitution, whether it be religious freedom, medical freedom, or whether it be for the Second Amendment, what they have to do is they have to turn their back on the rest of the Constitution to say, this is more important. Why are they doing this, folks? Is it due to the lack of constitutional literacy? Absolutely, because nobody really understands what is the most important part of the Constitution. And so I ask you, what is the most important part of the Constitution? And the answer is simple. What is the Constitution itself? The most important part is Article 7 that tells you exactly what it is. It is a compact, and it tells you who the parties are. It's not we the people. It's the states. The states are the ones that ratified it. As Madison stated during the ratification debates, he says, who are the parties to it? We the people? No. We the people of the sovereign states. It was the sovereign states, and each state had one vote. If it was a popular vote, then it would have been a general election. But it wasn't, because each state was sovereign, and they went into this compact as their own sovereign capacity, as approved by the people. And got to remember that it wasn't actually a general vote. The Constitution was ratified and voted for by representatives of the people. The people didn't have the direct say. It wasn't a democracy. It was a Republican form of government. This is why, folks, electing conservatives have failed to deliver what we need to restore our liberties and our republic. We have to start electing constitutionalists. The problem is that we're not nurturing and developing constitutionalists. This is why we want to fund you and your county to doing what needs to be done in developing constitutionalists so that you can create a constitutional county. But here's a question. Why are so many patriots following their passions instead of the Constitution? Aren't we all, as patriots, required by the oath of a citizen to support and defend the Constitution against enemies of the Constitution, both foreign and domestic, right? So how is it that we get caught up in only defending one little part of the Constitution when all of the Constitution is being violated? The fact is, folks, that if we all work together, now let me just throw this out here. You think of all the myopic groups, from the abortion groups, all of the different grassroots and these other, we'll call them tax-free or non-taxable organizations, John Birch Society and so forth. All of these different groups, if they united, if they put aside their self-interest, their group's interest, their one little passion, and they all decided that we demand full compliance to the Constitution, our problems would be solved. United we stand, divided we fall. In other words, how is it that a patriot can actually justify turning their backs on the Constitution instead of doing what we need to do? So this is why we need to start encouraging and teaching and turning away from our passions and applying discipline in saying, you know what, you can't do this. The fact that I have to tell people that that debt clock is a representative of a facade of fraud. Everything that they're doing that they don't have the authority to do is fraud, folks. In other words, all of our debt is fraud. In other words, all of this land that's being sold to all of these different nations and foreigners and all of this global governance crap, it's all fraud. Show me in the Constitution where the federal government has the authority to do these things. They've granted these powers to themselves, and they don't have the power to do that. Does that make sense? So as we start looking, what we want to do is we want to start actually getting organizations. We don't want you to throw away your passion. But what we want you to do is we want you to start uniting. But we have to actually start looking at, you know, how these things are occurring and why we're actually being beaten. Why are they constantly gaining ground? Not to poke the John Birchers in the eye, but, I mean, they've been founded since the 50s to stop the growth of communism. And we're in the final throes of the Bolshevik Revolution. When is it that we're going to start putting the Constitution first instead of our organization and actually working with all organizations and uniting as we hide into our little ivory towers of groupthink, and this is how we're going to do this, and this is how we want to do these things? We continually lose ground. So this is why we tell you that you must create your own county unorganized militia, not a paramilitary force, but a civil union on holding government and our public servants accountable to the Constitution in the form of an organized militia. Again, this isn't having guns. This is not about guns. This is about doing exactly what the framers did prior to the Revolutionary War. And this is why we cover these types of things in history. They didn't go out and start shooting. They actually petitioned. They petitioned their local government that was instilled by the king. They petitioned the king. They petitioned Parliament. They continued to petition and demand their rights as British, British subjects, as Englishmen. They had these rights. These rights were considered inalienable as Englishmen, as a part of the British crown. Taxation without representation became huge to them. Well, if we have that same paradigm today, folks, we're going to win what we're trying to do in obtaining our constitutional republic, or restoring our constitutional republic back. So what we have to do is we have to stop being divided. But when we start looking at division and we start looking at all of these types of things, then we can actually see these problems. Now, I told you we were going to talk about Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade is truly the byproduct of federal overreach. What should have happened, and I've said this and I'll say this again, the federal government has no jurisdiction over life, over marriage, over many of the things that they've sucked into themselves. Every time you go to court and you take it into a federal court when they don't have jurisdiction, you are surrendering your sovereignty to a body or an entity that has no say on the matter. And I'm going to tell you, when you give them the choice, they will make the decisions for you and you will not like it. So why do we keep doing this? For us to be successful and for us to actually get the success we need, because what's going to happen with Roe v. Wade? Well, what's going to happen is the Democrats, who will probably be desperate, and if they realize that there's going to be a red wave, because they're pretty arrogant. They don't think that we'll be able to overcome their control over our election system. They already have a good control, and they've been using this for a long time. Folks, it wasn't 2020 where voter fraud and election fraud was rampant. It started a long, long time ago. Landslide Lyndon B. Johnson in the 50s, it was apparent back then that they had already engulfed these areas and communities where they took and seized full control. They've been at these antics for a long time. Yes, we have to restore our election system. We have to restore our rule of law. But when it comes to Roe v. Wade, if they actually start stacking the deck, they will restore abortion. And instead of just restoring abortion, they will add to it the right for the government to mandate the collection of organs and all sorts of things from these aborted fetuses. It is going to be even worse because we have gone so much further down this path of evil. As we start looking at what they've been doing since the very beginning when abortion started, you know, abortion started under the hands of government. Go look up the Negro Project with Margaret Sanger. I mean, abortion's been around a long, long time, longer before Roe v. Wade. The fact of the matter is, folks, that we have a real problem. The federal government needs to actually start standing up. And what we need to see come from the federal court, what we won't hear, is that they have no jurisdiction. If the federal court was actually considered or concerned about the Constitution, then what they would say is we have no jurisdiction over any of these matters. And what we need to do is we need Congress to actually create barriers so these types of cases cannot come into the federal courts anymore. Go look at the 11th Amendment. And you look at the 11th Amendment and you'll realize that that is not even being abided by. The 11th Amendment was actually quickly encouraged and actually demanded by the states because they saw the federal court system was already overreaching. And then when they actually saw what ended up happening, even though it wasn't overreaching into the federal or into the state courts with Marbury v. Madison, it was still an issue that was unenumerated. If you read Marshall's comments, the first thing he states is they don't have jurisdiction in the matter. However, and then he makes an opinion. Folks, opinions aren't law. The court has no legislative powers. All of these things are critical. This is why getting back to these issues of the comprehensive constitutional positions to campaign on, why we go through this, and this is why we're giving you issues to petition on. The two most important issues that you need to petition on right now are actually the two things that will come out of one petition that we have for you is the removal of the Biden administration. We need you to actually start initiating a petition in your county. We're working on one right now that's going to be a template for you. We hope to have it done by next week so that every county can start. You can start with this in every county, and your counties can actually start putting the pressure on your state legislature, your governor, and your attorney general. The intent of this petition is to get your county commissioners to demand that your attorney general adjoin the lawsuit against Congress. Congress is being sued for basically allowing an unconstitutional electoral college to choose the president when they had no authority to do so. So what we're hoping and what we need you to do is get this going, because what we want as a basically a effect from this, or a blowback or a ricochet, or, you know, from the sound permeating of this, we want this to become the dialogue in the 2022 election for every seat of Congress. We want every person running for Congress to commit to you that they are going to end the constitutional crisis, because bottom line, folks, the court doesn't need to tell Congress to do their job. Congress can actually fix this constitutional problem. And the constitutional problem and the fix is easy, folks. All they have to do is tell the United States and the good world that the Biden administration was seated from an unconstitutionally formed electoral college, that Congress failed to actually follow the Constitution, and they're now going to execute the 12th Amendment to constitutionally choose the president and then remove the Biden administration, because the outcome would be Biden would not be the president. It's that simple, folks. He should never have been president. On January 6th, Congress's obligation, and they were petitioned. We have all the facts on this, and this will all be in or pointing to the facts for you in these petitions. If you have any questions, let us know. But the fact of the matter is, we can actually save America by getting rid of the Biden administration. I mean, what red-blooded American wouldn't think that that would be the number one priority right now to help get rid of these alligators off of our butt? If you put it in context to Covey's, you know, four quadrants of the needs and urgencies, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that. We got to drain the swamp. Well, we have to fight off the alligators, and the Biden administration are the alligators right now biting our butt. Once we get rid of the Biden administration, then we can start draining the swamp at your county and state level. But all of this will actually be initiating your foundation in taking back your county. By using First Amendment petitions, you'll be able to initiate this whole new process. We need to start off, folks, and I need you to understand that as you get this moving, you have to explain to your citizens of your county to set expectations so that they understand that we don't expect this petition to actually land, any justice for us. We hope and we believe in the elections that we can absolutely get what we want. Because the one time a politician listens to the people is when they're begging for your vote. And they know that it is suicide if they actually commit and promise to you that they're going to do something like get rid of Biden and they don't do it. Because, folks, in this petition, we will prove that every member of Congress, because they violated their oath of office, they are required to be removed and banned for life. We need to start holding the law of this land and actually holding our public servants accountable to the law of this land. We need to start enforcing the laws of this land. And in so doing, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment will actually give us everything we need to remove these corrupt creatures that have no business in public service. They can go get a job. I don't really care what they do. If you really want your justice, you can pursue legal courses and tie up the courts and so forth. What I want is I want our public servants, holding them accountable to the Constitution and getting them to do what they're supposed to do. That's what I care about. I care about fixing the problems. Later on, if we got time and we've fixed all these other things, maybe we can go for justice. It's not that I don't want, it's not that I'm telling you not to go seek justice. It is that we have to actually stop the bleeding, start the breathing, and treat for shock. This is the basic triage in saving a life. And so we have to stop the bleeding by getting rid of these folks out of office. Then we have to start the breathing by getting people to actually complying to the Constitution and stopping all of these unconstitutional programs and so forth. This is why we invite you to understand Republic Review is the ultimate solution. If you want to understand what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison were doing in 1798, go through the details of Republic Review. This actually spells it out in more details than even they went into. I just think that at that point in time, they were just doing what they knew they needed to do, and they had to abandon it because they couldn't get enough of the state houses to do their job. So because Madison and Thomas Jefferson had enough clout, they were able to pull off a coup in removing the Adams administration in the upcoming election of 1800. They created a party called the Republican Party, and they actually unseated a lot of the Federalists and gained momentum. By the time Monroe was elected in his second term, there was not one other candidate that received an Electoral College vote for president other than the Republican James Monroe. Did you know that? Did you know that they actually, the coup that they created a full shift in paradigm that all of America accepted this concept of liberty? We can do this exact same thing. However, we've got a lot of, I'll just say, traitors among us, and all of those people will have to be dealt with. The best thing to do is to initiate, because what they did to get rid of the traitors back in their day is they initiated the Tory Acts. And what they did was they actually shipped, deported, and drove all of these British loyalists out of office. So I'm running out of time. One of the things we didn't go through was the obligatories. But one of the things we want you to know, one of the things you have to understand, is you can do this. The Constitution gives you all the power and authority to do this. And most of you that live in these dark red counties and dark red states, you don't have the problems of being doxxed, or you don't have the problem. It's about just educating people, because what we want you to do is what we're doing is educating and invigorating the electorate and teaching them how to hold their public servants accountable. So with that, we're going into a break. When we come back, we'll try to get back into these constitutional issues that we've been covering along with Feedback Friday. So, folks, I appreciate your patience, and I appreciate the fact that you're still on board with us. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so one of the things that I need to kind of cover that now would be the perfect time. Every once in a while, we experience some technical difficulty in the broadcast because I'm not sure what it is. We still haven't narrowed it down, whether it's a conflict between me broadcasting from where I am out. I don't think so. I mean, it hurts our head. Once we create the connection, we have this connection. But some of you have noticed that my show will start, all of a sudden another show will start on top of it, and then that show will, you know, kind of go away and we'll be back on the show. And that's what happened yesterday. And so it started off, then we went down this path of a completely different show that stepped on it. And then all of a sudden, that ended, and we went right back to the show that I was broadcasting. So patience with us. We would love to have, and this is let me go down this path of monetizing and why and how we can help fund this for, and fund your activities is by getting these shows actually to be aired on your local radio programming. In so doing, the majority of all the profits, I'm serious, the majority of all the profits will be turned right back around from what we get from your radio show out to those of you who are operating and actually leading and creating county unorganized militias. We go through all of the details of all of this through different shows. One of the things we're going to be covering in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start covering the ratification debates. Because this is an election year, because it's a critical election year, we're going to maintain Feedback Friday and possibly, you know, a bleed over Monday. So the shows may take a long time to cover because it was 2 months last year. And what we're going to do is we're basically going to re-air, because last year was really tight, it was good, and we're just going to re-air what we did last year, which will free me up to actually help those people in the campaign. Again, it's not about just not having the content, but it's about helping people directly, because this way I can actually get more involved in writing First Amendment petitions and helping people in their campaigns. We're actually involved in a few, and I expect by the time we're, you know, in full campaign mode going into the general election, we'll probably be sucked into a lot of campaigns. And so we just beg your, you know, indulgence and beg your patience and work with us. As a matter of fact, this is why we want you to get on board to start doing these things. So one, we can work with you, and then you can actually, you know, understand what you need to do so that we can actually start driving in your county the change necessary in holding both, one, your public servants accountable, and actually helping you build towards the exit criteria of creating a constitutional county. Yeah, folks, there's actually an exit criteria. And we go through this. The three primary exit criteria is, one, is that your sheriff establishes a militia. Your sheriff needs to start, if you have a sheriff that has a large organization, you've got high crime in your area, then the sheriff needs to downsize and actually deputize or actually create a militia and utilize the militia as a reserve force. Not that the militia, we're not talking about the unorganized militia. We're actually talking about having both the unorganized militia functioning as well as the organized militia. Who is in the militia in every county? All of us. You can serve in either. And the sheriff should have, you know, standards and a pick of who's going to be serving in his militia. But if you have a good sheriff, he would rather have, you know, low crime and a low organization than a big organization and high crime. And so as we start, you know, connecting these dots for you, this will start making sense. But that's one exit criteria. The second exit criteria is restoring common law court. And we go through why this is so important. Common law courts are critical in restoring. And how did we get to this point? And it has everything to do with godlessness and godless secularism and this godless secular religion or the Antichrist religion that has been basically built up and established by the federal government. And how they got rid of this, I'll just say, this gem, this national treasure we call common law, which is our legal system. It is our constitutional legal system. Every state in the union, except for Louisiana, established it as the law of the land. And then after the Civil War with the 14th Amendment, it was all states are to have common law courts. And how we get to this and how you can come to these types of conclusions, go, oh, wow, I didn't even realize this. But the fact is you don't even have a common law court anymore. You basically have an admiralty court, and you have all of these different sidebar courts, and courts are basically a revenue mechanism for government itself and the bar system. And I'm not talking about taverns and alcohol beverage drinking holes. What I'm talking about is the Attorney Bar Association. Anyway, the third criteria for a constitutional county is having your county actually creating and funding your unorganized militia as a part of a civil organization or a civil leadership group that actually is funded, kind of like how they help fund, you know, cops on patrol, which basically put senior citizens into a cop car and kind of travel around to help reduce crime and, you know, keep costs down because it's all volunteer. Well, it would be very similar with an unorganized militia. There would be some levels of compensation for some of the leaders involved in it, but for the most part, it's uncompensated. And for the most part, it's volunteer, but for the most part, you would be empowered. So get this. The exit criteria is that the people and this organization would be empowered to remove anybody who has violated their oath of office for violating the Constitution or giving aid and comfort to those who are violating it. This, folks, is what we need. We need to be empowered to remove our public servants like that. At the snap of the fingers, get down. You have violated your oath of office. There is no due process in this. And this is why we go through all of these types of details so that you understand to the nth degree why these things must be implemented and why we need to go down these paths. So with that, Now I can probably cover the obligatories, and I've got 3 minutes to kind of do this. One of the things, oh, actually, no, I don't, because I also, this being Feedback Friday, I covered the civil rights amendments earlier this week, and I had a question from Paul Venable, who wanted to kind of understand a little bit more details as to why the Civil Rights Act, why the ADA, why these different acts are really unconstitutional, or at least they're not applicable to the states and to we the people. Because the only laws that are applicable to we the people at the state level that goes to all states are laws that are in pursuance to the Constitution. When one looks at the ADA, when one looks at all of these different acts, such as the Civil Rights Act, there's nowhere in the Constitution where they have the enumerated power over any of these types of things, whether it be marriage, whether it be disabilities, whether it be race, whether it be culture, anything like that, or sexual orientation. They don't have enumerated powers over those things. So they can pass acts, and those acts are only, when I say acts, that's A-C-T-S, okay? Those are only applicable to the District of Columbia and legitimate territories. Now, when I say a legitimate territory, in other words, it's a territory that falls within the understanding of the Constitution. If you're claiming the territory is within the boundaries of a state, it is not a legitimate territory. The federal government has no authority to possess any territory within any of the states. And so as we kind of look at the exclusive legislation, and this is, we covered this, and I've covered this several times, and I'll cover it again, and we covered this last Constitution Week. When we go through the exclusive legislation, the fact that there is a mayor and any type of form of government would require, for the Washington, D.C., and the amendments that they created in giving them some level of representation and electors, are you kidding me? They were never to have those. They were not to have those. They were to be completely autonomous, and the people that lived there, that was the risk that they ran, that they would not be a part of a sovereign state, so that they wouldn't be entitled to representation. They if you're there, you're there because you choose to be a leech or be involved in the public service arena of the federal government, and that's it. If that's how it is, but you need to have your residency somewhere outside of that D.C. The only other territories, maybe like the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico, but these types of things are really cutting it close. And these types of things are really going outside the boundaries of really what a territory is. Because bottom line, a territory, once a territory is established, it should have a projected, you know, I'll just call it a projected plan of when that territory becomes a state. The federal government does not have the constitutional standing to create permanent territories. Thus, I've been telling you about Thomas Jefferson's amendment to the Constitution requesting that the federal government could actually possess territories indefinitely and actually possess other things other than those enumerated properties that were listed in the Constitution. So folks, as we go through all of these details, we spell it all out for you. It's maybe complicated, but it's not rocket science. I think any cretin like myself can get it. So I have the utmost faith and confidence in you. You should be able to get this stuff a lot faster than me. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.